Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And thanks to the worship team for leading us in such wonderful praise and worship. You know, week after week after week after week, they come up and they practice and they get ready to lead us. And we appreciate their efforts and their commitment. Amen. We're thankful. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, team. Amen. Well, we're going to get into the Word this morning, so I invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. And in just a moment, we're going to read verses 13 through 23 together. Right before we do that, we have a little family matter that we want to point out. Ken Rockhold, is Ken back here in the service? Looks like he slipped out. Okay, he left just a little bit early to take son to the soccer. But Ken was promoted to commander in the Coast Guard this week, and they had a ceremony to recognize that. So we wanted to congratulate him. So pass that on to him, please, for us. Amen. We're going to be reading verses 13 through 23. Verses 13 through 23. Let me read this for us. It's a lengthy passage. Follow along with me as I read the word of the Lord. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Would you please pray with me? Father, we come now to your word. We ask that, as Mike mentioned earlier, that we would have ears to hear, hearts that can be discerning through the Holy Spirit to understand, and then, Lord, to obey you. We lift up Jesus Christ because he is the preeminent one, the supreme one. We pray that you will do this as we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Many Bible scholars believe that these verses that begin with verse 15 through 23 were an early hymn or a poem that the early church recited over and over again. And why did they do that? For the same reason that it's in the scripture, in the canon for us, so that we can remind ourselves of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus has the preeminence in all things. In the city of Colossae, one of the many small towns throughout Asia Minor, to which Paul visited at some point, even though we're not told in the book of Acts when he did that or where, but he established churches there. And over time, false teachers had come into the church. And these false teachers were denigrating Christ. They were putting him down. And they were lifting up things like the worship of angels, holding that above Christ. They were also guilty of what was called in the early church the Gnostic heresy. The word Gnostic or gnosis is the Greek word for knowledge. And so these false teachers claimed that you had to have special knowledge. And guess, of course, who had it? They did. And if you would just follow them, and if you would pay them, they would give you this special knowledge, and you would be one of God's special people. And so Paul writes to the Christians at Colossae and to us some 2,000 years later to help us to understand who Jesus Christ is. Why do we worship Jesus Christ? Yes, He is the Son of God, but He is so much more than that. And my hope today is to spur your heart and your sanctified mind on to understand the awesomeness of Jesus Christ, who He is, the Supreme One, the preeminent One, as we read in these Scriptures. We are living in a day like in the day of Colossae, where people around us are trying to denigrate Christ, trying to put Him down, trying to extract Him and anything that has to do with God, extract it out of public life. They'll say, well, just go and hide in your little church. And you can talk about Jesus there, but don't bring Him out into the public. Don't infect the culture with your Jesus talk. So we exalt Jesus Christ because not only is He the Son of God, we lift Him up with glory and honor and praise because He is the Supreme One. And today, the main point that I want to get across to us is that our lives must declare that Jesus Christ is the Supreme One. Our lives must be proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Supreme One. And we need to be proclaiming the hope that He alone holds for us, for all people. We read just a few moments ago, it says that He has reconciled us to Himself. He has taken us out of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the Son that He loves. And He is going to reconcile all things to Himself. Well, guess what? We get to play a part in that. You and I get to play a part in that, where we are sharing this hope with people who then can turn to God and they too can be reconciled. People look at us and do they see our lives honoring, glorifying, lifting up Jesus Christ, the Supreme One? That's my question and that's my challenge to us today. So let's look at this together. Let's break it down in the few minutes that we have. I'm going to try to get through all of this. We'll see. May have to break this into a series. So I'm going to talk about two things. Number one, I want to talk about that Jesus Christ is the Supreme One because of who He is. The second point, and I don't think I'll get to it today, is Jesus Christ is the Supreme One because of what He has done. Well, let's talk for a few minutes about who He is. Yes, He is the Son of God, but He is much more than that. In fact, sometimes I wonder as Christians, do we grow immune to that phrase, to those words? Oh, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Do we really comprehend what that means? And here Paul uses some language. He uses some words that help us to understand that He is so much more than just the Son of God. He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. But He is much more than that. So let's break it down for a few minutes. So letter A, Jesus, the Supreme One, is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. This is the word icon. We get the English word icon from it. The Greek word icon meant a literal representation, a literal likeness. A lot of times they would make statues of the gods. In the Greek culture around them, they would make statues of the gods. And of course, you know, the people of that day worshipped a pantheon of gods. And these statues were to represent their God to them. Well, Paul makes the point that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Why? Because, as John tells us in his gospel, no one has ever seen God. John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God the Son, God the only begotten, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So what's the big point? The big point is that when you look at Jesus Christ, you are looking at the correct and the pure representation of God. He is the physical representation of the invisible, the spiritual God. If you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus Christ. Some people might say, well, you know, Jesus was just a man. Yes, he was a man. He was fully human. And we're told that here. But also, he was fully God. We're told in these verses that it pleased God the Father that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ bodily. Now, if you want to blow your mind, try to wrap it around that. How is it possible that the fullness of God, the fullness of the deity, could be in the man, Jesus Christ? We'll get to that. In the meantime, we have to understand that Jesus is the visible image, the visible representation of the invisible God. Now, unfortunately, we don't get to see Jesus physically yet. But he's coming. Amen? He's coming. One day soon. I believe it's getting sooner and sooner. He's coming. And so we say with all of the believers throughout the ages of eternity, Maranatha, which means come, O Lord. It's at the end of the book. The last chapter, the last few sentences of Revelation, we say with all the believers worldwide, Maranatha, come, O Lord. Oh, wouldn't it be glorious to see Jesus coming, coming on the clouds with glory and honor. We'll be going to Israel in a few weeks. And maybe while we're over there, maybe while we're at the Mount of Olives, maybe Jesus will come and set foot down on the Mount of Olives as he's promised he would do. Maybe we'll get to see him right there. Probably not. So he is the Supreme One because first he is the image, the icon of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says it this way. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Watch this. You see, as the radiance of our physical sun shines down upon the earth, and it brings us what? It brings us light. It brings us warmth. And I don't know how this is possible, but somehow or another, if you get enough sunlight, it produces vitamin D in your body. That's way beyond my pay grade. I'm a simple preacher. I can't comprehend chemical reactions to the sun. But just as the radiance of the sun comes down from the physical sun, and it is inseparable, so the Son of God is the radiance of God's glory, the invisible God, and his radiance has shone upon you and upon me. If you know Jesus Christ, his radiance has shone upon you. We're told in John chapter 1 that the light has come into the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it, cannot overcome it. But men do not want to come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. If we know Jesus Christ, if you know him today, you've come into the light and you said, Lord, you know who I am. You know my sin. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all of my sin. And He can forgive us because Jesus Christ provided purification for our sins. And why does He sit down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven? Why does He sit on the place of power, the place of authority, the place of honor, the right hand? It's because His work is done. And His work was accepted from the Father for you and for me. It's accepted. God said, "Son, come sit next to me. You've done well. You've done well." So, the Son of God is the radiance of God's glory. Inseparable. Fully revealed. God has been fully revealed in Jesus Christ. Someone asked me, "Well, Pastor, you know, can we understand everything about God through reading about Jesus Christ?" Of course not. In fact, we're told at the end of the Gospel of John, John writes, he said, if everything that Jesus did had been written down in books, he said, there would be no room in the world to contain all of those books. We have been told enough, enough to understand. We all have questions. We all have things that we don't understand about the Scriptures, about Jesus Christ. We all have questions that we want to ask Him. And I think one day, when we get to heaven, because I've heard some people say this, "Well, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about this." No, you won't. Because when you get in His glory, all things will fade away. And the glory of our Lord will be radiant upon you and me. And all of these earthly things will take second place. So, He is the image of the invisible God. Letter B. He is the supreme one because He is the firstborn and sovereign over all creation. We read in verses 15 through 17. Not only is He the image of God, He's the firstborn over all creation. Stop right there. Verse 15. The word or the phrase firstborn is a technical phrase, and it really means heir. It can refer to the timing and the birth order, yes. But here it's being used of the fact that He is the heir of all things. The Father has given Him all things and has put all things under His feet. The writer of Hebrews talks about the fact that the Father God has put all things under Jesus' feet, but we don't yet see it. We live in the already, but the not yet. Why? Well, we're told in Peter that God's patience means salvation. Patience that He does not yet bring judgment so that more people may come to know the truth, may repent and come to know the knowledge of the truth. So it's a technical phrase meaning He is the heir over all creation, for the Father has given Him all things. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, talks about this, and Lynn Semenek is going to read that for us.
Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name.
Because of His resurrection from the dead, and because of His obedience even unto death, it says, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. It goes on to say, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that He is Lord. He is the supreme one. Letter C. He's the supreme one because we just read in verse 16, He is the one through whom all things were created. And, verse 17, all things are sustained or hold together. Let's deal with this first one. All things are sustained in Him. All things hold together. Let me share an illustration with you that helps us to understand how glorious God's power is in Christ that He can hold things together. I'm going to use a nuclear illustration. It's about the residual EM force. And if it sounds like, as I'm reading it, that I don't know what I'm talking about, it's because I don't. I'm just reading it, okay? This is a person who understands a whole lot more about this than I do, but I get one thing. There's something that holds the universe together, something that holds every atom together. Atoms usually have the same numbers of protons and electrons. They are electrically neutral. Therefore, because the positive protons cancel out the negative electrons, since they're neutral, what causes them to stick together to form stable molecules? I don't have a clue. But he does. The answer is a bit strange. We've discovered that the charged parts of one atom can interact with the charged parts of another atom, and this allows different atoms to bind together, an effect called the residual electromagnetic force. I should have David up here explaining this. So the electromagnetic force is what allows atoms to bond and form molecules, allowing the world to stay together and to create the matter that you and I interact with all the time. Amazing, isn't it? All structures of the world exist simply because protons and electrons have opposite charges. See? Now you know the meaning of life. Really? So the meaning of life is all about protons and electrons sticking together and forming atoms. That's the meaning of life, folks. And if you didn't know it, you were missing out on life all these years, and you didn't even know it. Ah, but there's more. There's a little bit more. There is called something that used to be called the binding force, and now they call it, they've rephrased it, and they call it the strong force. And the strong force is what holds the nucleus of the atom together. And they don't fully understand how it can be. They don't understand how it can hold together. I submit to you that the power of the Word of Jesus Christ is what holds these things together. It's the power of the One who is the Supreme One, the preeminent One in all things. Not only do they hold together, but all things are created by Him and for Him. We just read a moment ago, verse 16, "For in Him all things were created, things on heaven or things on earth. All things have been created through Him and for Him." So it only makes sense that the One who created all things is able to hold them together. We read a few moments ago from Hebrews 1, verse 3, it says, "He holds things all together by His powerful Word." Let me ask you something. Do you know Him? Do you know this Supreme One, the One who's brought all things into existence, who sustains all things by His powerful Word? He's the center of all reality. He's the center of all existence. Life has more meaning than the proton and electron of an atom being held together. That's wonderful. And if you understand that as a biologist or as a chemist or a physicist, God bless you. But I'm here to tell you that there is One who brings much more meaning to life than just atoms. There is One who's the Supreme One who holds your life together, who holds my life together, and that by His love and His mercy and grace brings you and me forgiveness. He brings us new life. He brings us purpose. He brings us a destiny. He brings us love. He brings us hope. He brings us joy. The things that you and I are looking for, we often are looking for them in this world. They're found and only found in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? They're only found in Him. So if you're here today and you don't know Him, you haven't begun this relationship with Him, you haven't begun to walk with the Creator, the Son of God, the Supreme One, I urge you, I encourage you, start today. That old gospel song, I think it came out in the 60s with the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. Put your hand in the hand of the man who walked on water. Start that relationship. Start that walk with Him. Now, He's not walking on the water on the earth anymore, but He will walk with you through life. He'll walk with you through every issue and every problem that you may have. He's not here as our magical genie in the sky. He won't solve all your problems with a wave of His wand. No, but He'll be with you. Jesus said to His disciples before He left and went back to heaven, He said, "Look, I will be with you always." He is just echoing the words of God the Father, who said, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." And Moses is like, "Phew, Oh, man, that's good to hear, Lord. He said, because if you don't go before us, we don't want to go. If you don't go before us, God, we don't want to go. I hope that's your heart this morning. God, if you won't walk with me through life, I don't want to go. But He will. Can we go a little further? Can we go a little longer? We have 5 minutes left. Can you hang with me? D. Not only is He the image of the invisible God, not only is He the firstborn and the heir over all creation, He is also the one that created all things, and all things in Him hold together. But letter D, He is the head of the body, the church. You see it? Verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church. You might say, well, I'm not too excited about that one. Because, man, the church is pretty messed up. And the church has done some pretty messed up things, hasn't it? Let's be honest. Over the millennia, the church has done some really messed up things. But I need to tell you something, and I need to point this out in the Scripture. He goes on to say, He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He may have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. And through Him, watch this, you still with me, say amen. Through Him to reconcile to Himself all things. Things on heaven, things in heaven, or things on earth. And guess what? The church is His instrument of reconciliation on the earth. The church. The church. Now, who is the church? Who is the church? Remember the old children's ditty? I am the church. You are the church. All God's people is the church, church, church. It's not this building. You remember when this building got damaged by the tornado? We left and we went over to the high school for 6 months and we worshiped there. The church didn't change. The building got fixed, got remade and nice and new. That's great. But you know what? The building is not a church. The building is you, the people. And you and I are God's chosen instrument of reconciliation to reconcile people to Christ. This is something that we have to embrace, folks. We've got to embrace this. I love Brother Ashley's message from a few years ago. I don't know if you still have it on there, brother. But at the end of his message, it was a lengthy message. But at the end of his message, he would say this. He would say, just tell somebody about Jesus. Just tell somebody about Jesus. We're going to be having Gary and Ron and help me out. Mark. Whew, brain went blank. They're going to be sharing in the days ahead here about their little mission trip that they took, the evangelism training that they went through. And I hope that it will set you on fire so that you can know, just as God used them to reach out to people, God will use you too. And it's easy enough to say, you know, is there anything that I can pray for you? Is there anything I can pray for you for? I'm going to have to stop there, so I'm going to end with a story. Stop there for today. I'll pick up next week. There's lots more in there. I have been intending over the past few weeks to get down to the food line, which seems like I'm in there almost every day, and I run into a lot of different people. But the Lord has put it on my heart that I want to do some evangelism there. And I know some people aren't comfortable, doing this kind of cold call evangelism, and that's fine. I'm just brave enough and dumb enough to like to do that and talk to people. But I came up with an idea, or the Lord, I think maybe the Lord gave it to me. Most people are not going to take a track or, you know, they're not going to talk to you about religion or talk to you about Jesus. But here's something that people will do. People will take money. People will take a dollar, won't they? If I came around here and offered you a dollar, would you take it? Some of you are like, it's not a trick question. If I gave you a dollar, if I offered you a dollar, would you take it? Yeah, and I do. So I grabbed a handful of tracts, and I had a wallet full of singles, and I said, I'm going to go down to Food Lion, and I'm just going to give out a dollar with the track, and I want to tell people about Jesus. And you know what? It was awesome. It was awesome. I had one older man, he came up to the door, and I said, hey, I'd like to give you a dollar. And now it does have the track right up front. I'm not trying to bait and switch. Okay, it's right up front. And he looked at me and goes, well, I don't need a dollar. I said, it's okay, it's a gift. Go ahead and take it. And he took it and he was kind of hesitating. He's like, he looked at me and I said, I'm from Island Lions Church down the road here, and we're just here. We want to bless people. So would you like to take that? And so he took it and he said, wow, this is great. I said, yeah. So, you know, use it to pay for something in there. Maybe you can get a Twinkie or whatever, you know, in there. And he just kind of stood there and looked at it for a minute, and he looked at me, and then he went on. We did that. I did that to a few people. And I had to pick something up in the store, picked it up, and I didn't have any more dollars left in my pocket. But I had one more in my wallet. And I was like, Lord, I'm going to go get that $1. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to give it to somebody. Lord, would you just, you know, set up somebody to get this dollar? So I'm walking towards the car, and I had a package. As I'm walking, there's a car parked next to me, and the guy has the window open, and he's parked backwards, so you know his door is next to mine, my entry door, and he's got the radio playing, you know. So I'm like, I think this is the one you want me to give it to, Lord. And so I went and put the package down, grabbed the dollar, grabbed the track, came back around, and he had the window open, so he was a guinea pig right there and then. And I said, Sir, I would like to give you a dollar. And he just kind of looked at me like, what? And he said, hold on. He turned the radio down, and he was actually talking to somebody through his speakers in the car. He said, hold on a second. So I gave him, and I said, yeah, I'm here from Island Lions Church, and we just want to bless people. I'd like to give you this dollar. God bless you. And he just kind of looked at me. He goes, this is crazy. He said, I'm talking to a pastor friend of mine right now. I said, oh, I'm really sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. He said, no. He said, well, where are you from? I said, well, I'm from Island Lions Church right around the corner. You know, are you from this area? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know, we'd love to have you come be a part of our church. And he said, wow. He just looked at it, and he's like, wow, this is wild. He said, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out. You see, folks, if you just give God a chance to open the door for you, man, you'll have some fun. You'll have some fun. You see, you have to come up with some creative ways. Now, don't go up to people and say, you know what? You're going to hell and I'm here to help you. Don't do that. Don't do that. There was a church sign. We don't put any of these up, but it said on the marquee, the church sign said, don't just go to hell. Let us help you. Yeah, you need to change that sign. You need to change that sign. Listen, Jesus, the supreme one, the preeminent one, wants to use the likes of you and me to share the hope that we have with other people. So, get in the game. Get in on the great adventure. God wants to use you. He wants to do something. Aren't you tired of just the same old, come to church, hear a sermon, go home, put it on the shelf, and forget about it all week? Well, if you go to the men's group, you can't forget about it because we bring it up. Don't you want God to use you for something exciting? In the days ahead, we're going to be sharing more testimonies of what God's doing. I hope it'll spur you on. I hope it'll get you excited because Jesus is the supreme one, the preeminent one. And he wants to reconcile all things, all people to himself. Let's pray. Father, forgive us when our lives do not proclaim and do not declare that you are the supreme one, you are the preeminent one, and that you deserve all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, help us. Fill us fresh and new with your Holy Spirit so that we can glorify you, so that our lives will declare and proclaim who you are and the hope that you have for all people. Lord, use us. We lay ourselves at your feet. Lord, I pray this over your people. I bless them for their attention to your word. And Lord, let us now go and not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all the people of God said, amen. First time, folks, love to meet you out in the lobby. Don't forget the bridal shower that's happening in the library for Jenna and Luke. God bless you all.